Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from him who came to be among us, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. As we contemplate the coming of the new year, we'd like to also share with you a few verses that went with our gospel reading today. Just prior to those verses, the presentation of Jesus in the temple. St. Luke writes, "And when the days of their purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And indeed there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." Thus far our text. Indeed, dear friends of Christ, another new year is here. I think I'm still stuck somewhere in 2006. Time is going by so fast. Another new year is here, and that means for many people resolutions, perhaps, to do better this year, to perform better and better than you did. And yes, indeed, as we think of that, there's a lot of pressure in America today to be successful. Ask a high school senior what he's feeling about that. Ask a college senior, my daughter's one of them, what she thinks about that. There's a lot of pressure today in America to be a success, to do it better and better. And yes, there's lots of seminars to go to that can point you down that path. There's lots of different books that have been written to help you with that. One of the most recent books is by an author by the name of Stephen Covey, who has written a book entitled The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. What a title. You can just almost feel the pressure there in the title. It's almost become a Bible for modern business people today. And yes, one of our Missouri Synod pastors recently read that book and reviewed the book and commented on the book. He tried to put it into practice in his life. And what he discovered was very interesting. After reading that book, after putting it into practice, he said, "Yes, indeed, I learned how to be a little more effective. I was more effective in the things I did. I was more focused in the things I did. I was more organized in the things I did. It did help me for a number of things and a number of areas in my life." But then he began to share how frustrated he was as well, because the frustration began to creep in. The uneasiness began to creep in. And he said the reason for this is because of all the demands the book placed on you. It had so many things to do, so many tasks to perform, he said. And he never seemed to finish. In fact, he said, every task in the book could be divided and subdivided and subdivided into further tasks and further things to do until you got to that point where you found yourself in a virtual prison of performance. No matter how much I did, he said, no matter how much I did, it wasn't enough. And I found myself in a bit of a prison of performance, pursuing this thing called success. Yes, indeed, dear friends, what he was discovering in his frustration was the elusiveness and the frustration of complete success. What he was discovering was the elusiveness and the frustration of perfect performance. How about you? Have you achieved total success in life? 2018, the perfect year? Have you achieved perfect success in life? Have you achieved total success, perfect performance? Are you the perfect driver? A couple of you say, yes, I am. Everyone else around me is the problem. Are you the perfect driver? Are you the perfect father, the perfect mother? Are you the perfect neighbor? Are you the perfect employee? Maybe the perfect employer? Are you the perfect church member? Are you the perfect witness to Jesus Christ, the light of the world, to all that are around you, the perfect model of love to everyone, fulfilling the 7 big habits, or maybe God's 10 big ones? You know, if you're like that pastor who read that book, you probably began to realize, especially as the year closes off, that you weren't a total success. In fact, there's a frustration in trying to be perfect, isn't there? There's a frustration in trying to be completely and totally 100% successful in life in this fallen world. Indeed, there is a frustration in that. No matter how hard we try, it begins to elude us. Perfection. Total success. I can't get there. What a shock it must have been. Friends of Christ, what a shock it must have been for St. Paul, who one day discovered this very thing. For he thought very highly of himself at one point. He thought he was the pinnacle of Pharisaical performance. We mention this because of his words in Galatians today. He thought he was the pinnacle of Pharisaical performance. I could do it all, and I can outdo all the rest of them. I was the Pharisee of all Pharisees. I was the keeper of God's law. And not only that, I was the keeper of the 7 habits of highly effective Pharisees. I did it all. Nobody quite like me, but then it happened. Then it happened, didn't it? He had a collision with the Lord Jesus Christ, who one day knocked him off of that high horse and threw him down in the dirt and showed him what true perfection was, true holiness was. And Paul realized how far short of the goal he fell. Until the same man says, all that I've accomplished is nothing but rubbish. What a change. Indeed, that's what the law offers us. Failure. The law says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All deeds, because they come from sinners, are, yes, as filthy rags. Kind of skewers the pride. And yet every religion in the world except for one, tells man that he can buy heaven by his human performance. Just keep trying. And if you don't quite get there, strap a bomb to yourself and blow everybody up, and then you'll get there. Wow, talk about stress for a new year. You see, dear friends, that's why we needed Jesus to go to the temple today in our context. in the arms of his mother, father. It's not just a Hebrew thing, because sometimes we get lost in these Hebrew things and we dismiss them as irrelevant. No, the Old Testament, it burns with significance, points to salvation. That's why we need Jesus to go to the temple today, you see. What's he doing? Just a Hebrew thing? No, dear friends, he's doing something very significant. Jesus is appearing in the temple. If we could summarize it all. In order to be labeled. In order to be labeled. As the one who will satisfy the Father in all things. He's going to the temple today to be designated and labeled as the one who is sent to keep God's law. The law that no one could keep. The law that no one could fulfill. The law that does only one thing to sinners: accuse them and tell them of their failures. No, now we have one who comes, who can satisfy that law. And he comes to be labeled as the law keeper today. The one who will be the perfect obedient son to the Father. Who in all things will show love to every human being and show love, perfect love to the Father in all things. Who in all things, in every movement, in every moment, with every breath and with every heartbeat, will keep the law of his Father and satisfy that law. And he will do it not for himself, but for us. For us. We have someone coming. Today, who is indeed going to keep the law for us. The perfect law keeper appears. We call it, dear friends, his act of obedience. You can read about it in the catechism. In everything Jesus did for you and for me, he became the perfect keeper of God's law. So that when it accuses us, we can run to Jesus and know that in him there is no longer any accusation. And so he appears. Not only, dear friends, to be labeled as the perfect law keeper, he appears for another reason. He appears today in the temple not just to be the law keeper, but to be the sin bearer. For yes, we go back and we think about all those Hebrew things. Every parent, every couple had to present their firstborn son in the temple 40 days after his birth for the purpose of purification. For you see, original sin has been passed on in every case but this one. And so they come to the temple. And it is there that Jesus is not only labeled as the law keeper, but the sin bearer. For every couple was to come with an offering, you see. An offering of a lamb. But if you couldn't afford one, didn't have one, you could substitute for it a couple of turtle doves. Mary and Joseph did just that. They came with a couple of turtle doves. Maybe it's a sign that they were on the poor side of life. Did not read the book of Seven Habits of Highly Successful Jewish People. And so they brought a couple of doves. But there's an irony here, you see. They didn't need to go out and buy a lamb. They didn't need to go to someone's flock and purchase it. And the reason why was they had the real one. The one that fulfilled the word of the prophets. The one that fulfilled the word of God. They had the real one in their arms, the perfect Lamb of God. We can just hear 30 years later, John the Baptist on the River Jordan, on its banks, screaming out loud to everyone, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And all eyes turned. There is your sacrifice, the perfect one. There is the Lamb upon whom every sin will be laid. And so they bring him to the temple. To be labeled the sin bearer. We call it his passive obedience. You can read about it in the catechism. I hope you still read it. And I hope its word still burns in your heart as does the scriptures. For it proclaims the one who has come, who lives for us and dies for us. And through his living and his dying, justifies the world, justifies the sinner. And yes, indeed, through faith, we are justified in his sight, declared innocent in his sight. What a beautiful revelation St. Paul must have had when he abandoned his filthy human righteousness for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so he writes in Galatians, indeed, born of a woman, he comes, born under the law. It's not just a Hebrew thing. It's to set us free. It's to satisfy all that condemned us. And to set us free that we might be forgiven and innocent and holy in the sight of God. And that's what we are through Jesus. Through his active and passive obedience. He was the only one who did it. Who satisfied the 7, or should we say the 10, habits of highly successful people. And he did it for us. And God sets us free. What a wonderful thought as we go forward. How about trying this instead of putting more law on you, as the world does? What's your new resolutions, you failure, you? How about putting on gospel so that we meet the new year with the gospel burning in our hearts? Yes, in those moments when we might hang our heads and realize I have not been the perfect wife, the perfect husband, the perfect father, the perfect mother, the perfect son. In those moments, we can look to the one who loved his family perfectly. That's our refuge. And in those moments when I realize I haven't been the perfect employer or the perfect organizer, my garage is still a mess, I can look to the one who fulfilled his vocation totally, completely for me. And in those moments when I can't live up to the big expectations of some success book, I can look to the one who did just that, who fulfilled all the expectations of God's book. His name is Jesus. And he is the Lamb of God. He is the keeper of all things, the keeper of the law for you. He is the perfect sacrifice for you. And he has come to set you free so that you can go into the new year burning with his love, with his joy, set free in the gospel. No matter what the year brings, then we know we know that in Jesus all things are mine. In fact, if you have faith in Him, you're already the world's most successful person. You're already the world's most successful person. For that's what God does. He measures it all by His Son for you. Let us rejoice then in the Lamb of God who comes to the temple to fulfill all things. You are free in Him, forgiven, redeemed. Go forth to the new year, blazing with grace. Blazing with grace. In Jesus' name, the perfect Lamb, and for His sake. Amen.